Thank you, Murray, for leading us in worship. I want to give a massive thanks to Dave and Danny and the team who have been setting this all up. They've worked tirelessly to get this all going. So big thank you for that. I want to add my welcome to everybody who's now watching online, whether you're usually with us physically on a Sunday or whether you're joining us for the first time online or whether you're watching on catch-up. It's great to have you with us. This is a new experience for us all, certainly is for me. These times are unprecedented, and that's a word that's been overused over the years, but I think now really relevant. This is strange times. So we've been preaching through the book of Acts. We just started. We're in about week three. And I'm going to continue to preach from Acts, but I want to speak specifically into this situation, coronavirus epidemic. And I think that from Acts, there are some lessons that can help us and speak to us in this situation. So before I dive into Acts, there's a couple of scriptures I want to look at that I think are relevant this time. One is the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 12. In there, the writer talks of a shaking of all things that can be shaken, so that those things that cannot be shaken will remain. And then he says that we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's God's kingdom, ultimately, that is unshakable. So a lot of the things that we thought were pretty stable, that we relied on, are being shaken. Things like the health system, leisure, work, the economy, it's all been shaken at the moment, and it all looks pretty unstable. Especially in the West, we thought those things were pretty rock solid, but they're being shaken. So we need to look in these times to the kingdom that can't be shaken and build our lives on God's principles, because God's kingdom can't be shaken. So we really need to look at where we're putting our trust and ultimately put it in God. We do thank God for the NHS. They're doing a fantastic job. We would thank God for the government, and we pray for both of those. But we need to ultimately put our trust in God. And you'll see that scripture in Hebrews 12 about the shaking. The other scripture I've been thinking of is in Romans 4, where the writer Paul talks about the faith of Abraham. He's a guy in the Old Testament. And Abraham believed God's promise that he would give him a son. And it says that Paul faced the fact that he was 100 years, that Abraham faced the fact that he was over 100 years old and that his wife Sarah couldn't have children. He faced that fact. He was realistic about the situation, but it says his faith wasn't weakened. He did not waver in believing the promises of God, but his faith grew stronger. It says, Paul writes, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. And we need to also have that kind of faith. We need to be realistic about the situation, not put our heads in the sand and not just merely say, it'll all be all right, because we don't know if it'll all be all right. We need to follow the news, but we also need to look to God. Although it seems hopeless, we know that God is a God of hope, and there's hope in these times that seem hopeless when we look to the God of hope. So we need to look at the promises in the Word, in the Bible, and we need to remind ourselves of the promises so that in this time we don't grow weaker in our faith because of the difficult situation, but we grow stronger in our faith because we're digging deeper into God. So there's opportunities in this difficult time as well as all the difficulties. So now I want to look into the book of Acts. Last week, here live, Danny spoke in from Acts chapter 2 about the time when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, right at the beginning of the church, at the Feast of Pentecost. God poured out his Spirit on 120 Christians. Now I want to give a quick overview of the rest of chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4, and then I want to look at a few specific things, zoom in on those, focus. I believe a couple of weeks ago, God spoke to me about looking at the foundations. Sometimes a building, if there's problems, you need to check the foundations. And as Christians, as church, we need to make sure that our foundations are strong. And at this difficult time, we need to be sure that we have strong foundations. And so I'm going to pick out a couple of things from Acts that speak about the foundations in our lives. So here's the summary of the rest of chapter 2, 3 and 4. So at Pentecost, Holy Spirit comes upon 120 believers as they began to speak in tongues. The people around hear them speaking and praising God in many languages, including their own languages, because at that time, at this festival, there were people from all over the known world, all over southern Europe, and they heard them speaking in their own language, and a crowd gathered. Immediately, under the power of the Spirit, Peter seizes the opportunity and preaches the gospel to the crowd. His message comes with such great conviction that 3,000 people respond to the message, believe, and are baptized, and the church is born. The church is born with an explosion of growth and the Holy Spirit. And the end of chapter 2, it talks about the wonderful life in the Spirit that happened right at the beginning. It talks about the prayer, talks about the fellowship, talks about the teaching, talks about what they did. And it was a wonderful time. We're going to focus on that fellowship and prayer and communion that it had in another week. In chapter 3, Peter and John go up to the temple to pray. And on their way, as at the gate, they meet a beggar who's there every day begging, and he's well known, and they heal this beggar. And it's an amazing healing. He's lame, and he stands up and he walks. And he's walking and jumping. And because everybody knows him, a crowd gathers to see what's happened. And again, Peter seizes the opportunity to preach about Jesus. And the church grows. And it's a fantastic start to the church. You've got massive growth, you've got power, you've got healing, you've got miracles. And we probably think, wouldn't it be great to be in that time of Acts? Wouldn't it be great if the church like that was like it was in the time of Acts? But then chapter 4 happens. Right in the middle of preaching, Peter and John get arrested by the temple guards. They carry him off and they throw them into prison. And the next day they're questioned by the Jewish elders, the religious leaders of the day. And they ask him, by what power or what name did you do this? And again, Peter answers and he preaches about Jesus. And the elders then command them to stop telling about Jesus. They threaten them. Threatened with punishment, and Peter and John refuse. They say, no, we've got to carry on. And so they were persecuted. They were told to stop. And as you read through Acts, and so we've been reading through Acts as a church, you will see that many times the church was persecuted, especially the leaders. They were beaten and they were put into prison. And I've noticed much more. That's a lot of persecution. When I've read it before, I've just focused on the miracles. But I've noticed this time that there's also a lot of persecution going on. So maybe we might be thinking, maybe I wouldn't like to be in the time of Acts. I wouldn't like to be locked in prison. It's nice to be able to meet freely these days. And the church's response to that is to pray. And they don't pray that the threats will stop. They pray for boldness to carry on despite the threats. So that's the overview of those chapters. So these were difficult times for the church. It wasn't all rosy. There was great growth and miracles, but it was a difficult time for the church. Even before the church started, it was a difficult time for the Jewish people where the church started. They were an occupied country. They were occupied and oppressed by the Romans. And the Roman occupation was really very oppressive. It was quite cruel. But we see through Acts that when the church started, the church suffered even more. The church was persecuted not only by the Romans, and they were persecuted by the Romans because they started to declare the man Jesus to be God. And there was a man already who declared himself to be God. That was the Emperor Caesar. He said he was a god. And so they saw the Christians as a threat because they worshipped another man god. So they were persecuted by the Romans, and they were also persecuted by the Jews, who didn't like this new religion. So it's difficult. The Christians knew opposition, they knew imprisonment, they knew beatings, and some of them were put to death. And that was coming from the authorities, so there was nowhere to turn. They couldn't call the police. So in these difficult times of coronavirus, yes, it's very difficult. It's very different from the time of Acts. And in this time, we're not being persecuted as Christians. It's all of society that is struggling, not just Christians, but it's a difficult time. But remember, the church was born in difficult times. And right at the foundation of the church, it was able to be established when everything was changing and unstable. Because the Holy Spirit brought power to the Christians. So sometimes that power was expressed in miracles and healings, and sometimes that power was expressed in their ability to endure through the difficulties. And so at this time we need to know that God will give us power to endure, and not only endure but grow and thrive, just like it did in the book of Acts. And we look back at history of the church, we will see that the witness of Christians in difficult times has really spoken to non-believers. How the church has cared for not only itself, but for others outside its walls, has advanced the gospel throughout history. So this is an opportunity for us as a church to love the world that's really struggling along with us. So here we have in Acts, not ideal conditions to start the church. So the early apostles who started the church needed to make sure that the church was built on strong foundations. Foundations that were firm and unshakable, because around them everything was shaking, was uncertain. And the first foundation I want to talk about is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in Acts 2, in this first sermon that Peter preaches, Peter speaks about the resurrection of Christ, not just his death. And he continues to preach the resurrection throughout Acts. The apostle preached a lot about the resurrection. So he's exhorting us to put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has overcome death. This is a foundation that can never be destroyed, because, never be shaken even, because it's gone through death. So let's read what he writes in Acts 2, and it should appear on your feed. So he writes this: "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, free him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Now I'm going to jump down to verse 32. Peter carries on. "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Paul preached Jesus Christ, resurrected, Lord and Messiah. This is a key foundation. We build on our lives and our church on Christ himself. He's the cornerstone of the foundation, Lord and Messiah. Messiah, in other words, is Saviour. And this Messiah has conquered death. So in this coronavirus, many people are sick. Some have died. But for Christians, we know that we don't need to fear death, because Jesus has overcome death. He's been resurrected. So as Christians, we know there will be a resurrection for us one day. And we are founded on Jesus Christ, who has overcome death. So the first foundation is Jesus Christ. That's the key foundation. We're on the cornerstone of Jesus. And remember, Jesus has overcome death. Let me read from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, where Paul, one of the apostles that was in Acts, and he says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Let's continue to build our lives on Christ, the resurrected Son of God. So in these difficult times, our faith grows, and rather than is weakened, it grows stronger. Let us build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. And the second foundation I want to talk about, the apostles built on, is the Word of God. Peter, the same guy who preached in Acts 2, writes a letter, and his first letter, 1 Peter 1, he writes this: "For you have been born again, not of seed that dies, but of seed that cannot die, through living, enduring Word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you." The word of God endures forever. It is a firm foundation. For us as Christians, the sure word of God is the Bible. God speaks to us in many ways, and sometimes he speaks to our hearts, he speaks to other people, and sometimes we hear wrong. But we can be sure of this word written in the Bible, that this is the word of God, and you can build your life on it. So when Peter preached in Acts 2, his first sermon after the Spirit came, he speaks of Jesus, he speaks of the Holy Spirit, but he also quotes the Old Testament. He quotes the Bible that they had to explain and to validate what he spoke and what he'd experienced. At the end of Acts 2, it says that the church devoted themselves to various things. And one of those was the apostles' teaching. Now, much of this teaching is now written in the New Testament. But the church devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And the apostles taught from the Bible. They taught from the Bible. You'll see it in Acts 2. Peter quotes the prophet Joel. He quotes two Psalms. He builds the gospel on the word of God. So we must do the same. We must look to the promises of God, because there's lots of promises that are true when times are good and when times are difficult. And the Bible is full of them. And we need to, like Abraham did, build our lives and our hope on the promises of God while recognizing that around us is difficult. That's the foundation we need to build our lives on, the Word of God. So in this time, spend the time that you're at home and you've got time to read the Bible, read the Word of God, remember the promises, and they're true. Whatever is going on, God is faithful in every time, in the good and the difficult. So let's build up our faith so we get stronger and not weaker. The Bible will help you. Jesus said, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." His words are powerful in our lives. So let's build ourselves up in this. So there's two foundations, and there are others, but two foundations that we need to build our life on. We need to build, firstly and most importantly, on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that we trust in him, the God who's been resurrected from the dead. And we need to build our lives on the Word of God, the Bible. Because these are in uncertain times. And we can't ultimately put our hope in the National Health Service, the government, the finances, or any other human help. Though, because ultimately our help comes from God. Though we have to really thank God that he can use and does use these. And we want to pray for the NHS, we want to pray for the government. I just want to say thank you to the NHS. You're doing a fantastic job, and we are praying for you that God helps you to continue to help this nation. We do appreciate you. When I say that's not our ultimate hope, we do appreciate you. But we're looking to God for our help and to help you. I've been challenged as I've looked to Acts recently, especially in this time of the coronavirus epidemic, to say, where is my hope? Where is my help come from? You know, we can look at church, we can look at the government to help, we can look at benefits, we look at our job, our finances, but so many things these days are getting shaken. We realize that we can't ultimately trust in them. We have to put our trust in God. So I've been challenged. I hope this message has encouraged you as well as challenging you. Consider where you are putting your hope, because we need to put our hope in Jesus. Thank you. I want to say before I wind up, maybe you're watching online and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. Maybe you've been thinking about it for a while. Maybe these times have made you wander a bit more and you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus. What I want to say is you can do that today. It's very easy. It's really simple. The Bible says what you've got to do is and make a choice to do something that the Bible calls repent. What that means is you turn away from a life that is without God, ignoring God, and you turn to God and say, I want to follow you. I want to follow your plan, not my own plan. And you tell God you're going to do that. And if you want to do that, put your trust in Jesus and follow him for the plan he's got for you, all you need to do is say a simple prayer to say, tell God that's what you want to do. You can do it your own words, but I'm going to pray now. And if you want to just say the same things in your heart, then do so. Father, I want to today decide to follow Jesus in my life. I've not followed you, Jesus. I've not taken you into consideration. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross, rose again, and took away my sins. I ask you to forgive my sins. I'm going to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to close in prayer now. Please join me. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for the NHS and the government because they really need our prayers at this time. Father God, I thank you for your word that is a living, enduring word of God that encourages us. I pray for everyone listening that you would help them by your Spirit to build their lives on Jesus Christ and on his word, to fill themselves with these promises that they grow stronger and not weaker. We want to lift up to you also the National Health Service, that you give them strength, you give them wisdom, the nurses, the doctors, the other staff, that you fill them with your Spirit, fill them with your strength, that they're able to continue to serve this nation well. Bless them, Father. We pray for the government that you give them wisdom from on high to make the right decisions in this time. We just pray a blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Have a good rest of the day.